You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, A Tattered Security Blanket. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Religious people, like myself, are in the habit of laying guilt trips on others. My topic this month is guilt, something in which we are all experienced. We know guilt because we all have guilty feelings, and because some people, like religious people, can lay guilt trips on us. Thus it is that I have often wondered how our religious pronouncements come across to people who have done something wrong. For example, how does a woman who has had an abortion feel when she hears religious people denounce abortion as a sin? I've wondered how a divorced person feels when he or she hears preachers talk about the sanctity of marriage. I wonder how a person in jail feels when preachers denounce a growing jail population as an indication of a crumbling society. I wonder how a gay or lesbian feels when they hear Bible passages that denounce homosexuality, or more poignantly, how do the parents of a homosexual feel when they hear such passages which seem to condemn their dear child? My musing is not whether these and other conducts are wrong. The Bible says that they are. My question is, how do non-religious, non-church-going people respond to our religious pronouncements? They can deny that their conduct was wrong. They can rationalize their conduct, giving reasons why it was the thing to do. They can cover the sin with drugs or alcohol or by acting out with bizarre conduct. Whatever the outward response might be, there's one response that is true for most people. Most people are struggling with guilt. Now, guilt is not wrong. In a strange way, guilt is good. Good because it sets the stage for someone, some religious person, to say, "I know that such and such is bothering you. That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus came to make good for your sin. Believe that. God forgives you. Now you can put those guilty feelings behind you and get on with life, a better life, an abundant life." That's the good word from God that we religious people should be passing along to those who feel guilty. That's what it's all about. John 3:17 says, "God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world." But we religious people don't always do that. Instead of helping to lift the load of guilt, we often lay an even heavier guilt trip on people who are already troubled by what they have done. Why do religious people do that? The answer is this. In many instances, we religious people have not come to terms with our own guilt. It's easy for us to make self-righteous pronouncements about the sins of others, but to ignore how terribly flawed we ourselves are before God. To demonstrate that, let's go back 20 centuries and look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees? Boo, hiss, you think. Pharisees were bad guys. Why, Jesus called them hypocrites. Well, yes, the Bible tends to picture the Pharisees as the bad guys, as the enemies of Jesus. But the fact is that the Pharisees were the religious people of first century Israel. The historian Josephus tells us that they had great influence over the common people. Matthew chapter 23 tells us that they were respected. They were exemplary stewards, giving 10% or more to religious causes. They were interested in evangelism and mission, traveling far to make a single convert. But the thing about these Pharisees that most impressed the common people was the Pharisees' knowledge of the Bible, which in that day meant the Old Testament, the only testament then in existence. The Pharisees knew the teachings of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, and they knew the interpretations and the traditions. The traditions were the additions that their own theologians had added to the Bible over the years. You know why the Pharisees earn a boo hiss? Not because they were religious, but because they used the Bible and their man-made traditions to lay guilt trips on other people, but they didn't deal with their own guilt. They were hard-hearted toward hurting sinners rather than showing compassion. Oh, they should have known that they were guilty before God. The Old Testament didn't let them off the hook simply because they were religious. Ecclesiastes 7:20 had religious people in mind when it said, "There is no one so righteous on earth that he always does what is good and never sins." The Pharisees were aware of that verse. It should have shaken their self-confidence. Hey, could it be? Could it just be that I am guilty before God? They also knew another Bible verse. Ezekiel 18:2 says, "The person who sins will die." Could be guilty? Guilty and doomed to death, Mr. Pharisee. But no, they didn't apply such verses to themselves. When the Pharisees heard the word sinner, they thought of other people. They thought of drug dealers, prostitutes, convicts, thieves, adulterers, and the like. Those people were sinners, the Pharisees thought. Those people have a lot to feel guilty about, but not us. We are God's righteous people because we outwardly keep the commandments and the theological traditions of our people. We're not guilty. So they avoided dealing with their own guilt before God by trusting their outward keeping of certain Old Testament laws and their own man-made traditions. Boo! Hiss! Jesus went after their false sense of security. One example is in the Sermon on the Mount. First, Jesus upheld the validity of the law. He did not come to revise the Ten Commandments into the Ten Suggestions. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Don't ever think that I came to set aside Moses' teachings or the prophets." In fact, Jesus even upped the ante. He told his listeners that God doesn't only look for an outward keeping of the law, but he also expects purity in the heart. One example is the following statement about murder. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Jesus did the same thing with several other conducts, like oaths and infidelity. It was his way in that sermon of pleading with us all to acknowledge our own guilt. Finally, he zings the Pharisees and drives home the point to you and me today. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "I can guarantee that unless you live a life that has God's approval and do it more faithfully than the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That is, as outwardly righteous as you strive to be, you are still as guilty as sin before God. Outward, upright conduct is important to society. Jesus doesn't deny that. I don't deny that. The moral law is still valid. The point here, however, is that in God's sight, I repeat that, in God's sight, which is far more probing than our human views of one another, in God's sight, I am as guilty as the smelly, unshaven, homeless bum sitting downtown on the curb with a brown-bagged liquor bottle. And so are you. Picture it this way. The Pharisees used the law and the traditions like a security blanket. If you have had small children, you know how they often cling to a blanket. It makes them feel secure. Many times we use our outward acts as a security blanket. It deceives us into a false sense of security, but it won't stand the test of time. Sooner or later, the security blanket becomes tattered, so tattered that mom and dad look for a way to get rid of the ratty old thing. Eventually, the child comes to see that too, and gives up the blanket, that false sense of security. That is Jesus' goal in dealing with religious people. Get rid of your reliance upon religious works and find your security in believing that God forgives you, a sinner. One of Jesus' best-known parables comes out of this controversy. It is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also used this illustration with some who were sure that God approved of them while they looked down on everyone else. Jesus said, two men went into the temple courtyard to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber or a dishonest person. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my entire income. Do you see it? That Pharisee is clinging to his tattered security blanket of good works. Jesus continues, but the tax collector was standing at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Instead, he became very upset, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No false security there. That's why guilt feelings can be so helpful. Rather than ignore them, like the Pharisees, honesty about our individual sin and guilt set the stage for hearing God's word of forgiveness. Jesus' death on the cross has made good for your sinful acts. You can deal with your guilty feelings by believing that God, for Jesus' sake, is kind and merciful to you. That's true security. Not a blanket, not the commandments, but the mercy of God to you personally. Jesus concludes the parable, I can guarantee that this tax collector went home with God's approval, but the Pharisee didn't. Everyone who honors himself will be humbled, but the person who humbles himself will be honored. So, back to my earlier musing. How do we religious people make others feel? There's an important principle for us in Romans 4:15. That verse says, the laws in Moses' teachings bring about anger. When it refers to the laws in Moses' teaching, it's talking about all the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments. That's God's law. His law is the Ten Commandments, and also other passages in which God tells us what we are to do and not to do, and how we are to be and not to be. A footnote here, God's law does not include man-made traditions and rules. The Pharisees added their notions to the Word of God, and religious people today are tempted to do the same. Religious people show that they are clinging to a tattered security blanket when they cannot let the Word of God stand on its own, but feel compelled to add their own opinions to God's Word. So St. Paul says, the law works wrath. After surveying the biblical use of the Greek word orge, the word used here in Romans 4:15, Glenn Taylor and Rod Wilson define wrath, orge, this way. Orge is a settled inner attitude that may, but not necessarily, lead to revenge and personal animosity. The law is not bad. Of course it's not bad. It comes from God. God is good. God's law is a good thing to obey. More and more social scientists are coming to realize that the clear teachings of the Bible are good practical guides for daily life. But the law is no security blanket. It does not take away our sins. In fact, it exposes our sins. Romans 3:20 says, "Through the law we become conscious of sin." And the law doesn't give peace. Quite the contrary, the law works wrath. As Taylor and Wilson said, it may lead to revenge and personal animosity. So here's the conclusion of the matter. If you and I use the Bible, not to mention our own traditions and personal opinions, if you and I use the Bible to heap more guilt upon people who are hurting because they have done wrong, we are only contributing to greater anger. Wouldn't that be tragic? You and I can share the good news that Jesus made good for their sins, just as He has done for us. We can share that a person is acceptable to God through faith, not through works. We can share that God's forgiveness enables them to start putting their guilty feelings behind them, just as His forgiveness helps us deal with our guilty feelings. Why alienate the people who are hurting? Why? In an often-told story, a farmer is complaining to the preacher about the lack of rain. To that, the preacher smiles and says, "I'm in sales. I'm not in management." We religious people are in sales, not management. Therefore, you and I shouldn't presume to manage the consciences of hurting sinners by laying guilt trips on them. Instead, you and I are in the great position to share with hurting people the message of faith in a God who freely forgives sins to ourselves and to others. Are you hanging on to that tattered security blanket of your own religious works? Throw it away and cling to the mercy of God who forgives us all. Throw your reliance on works away and generously share the kindness of God. That's the way God manages the world. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.